You're about to listen to The Handsome Hour, a part of the Boiled Sports Podcast Network. Check us out on iTunes or at boiledsports.com. I don't know where you put this in history.
It's the worst. I think this is, in my opinion, this is the worst period in Purdue football history.
You know, that raising the ticket price in the offseason by Burke looks really smart right about now, right?
I still don't understand just what he was thinking when he...
I think he was trying to stick it to people because he thought you guys wanted to pay a coach, so now you got to pay for a coach. That's what I think.
All right, welcome to a very special episode of the Handsome Hour. It's a very special Saturday episode, just about an hour after the Purdue-IU game. I have to go through the roster of everybody who's here. This is Jay. I'm joined by Handsome Boiler Dowd. I'm joined by Mike Henry, or also known as the Railroad Tie. And, of course, Chocolate Thunder, the Swami.
Hey, what's up?
Is here as well. And this is a very special episode because not only because of the cast that we have, but also because of the circumstances doing the... I have a feeling this is going to be a reactionary podcast. But basically, Michael was just, you know, mad as hell and needed to vent and needed to talk to someone, and pretty much his entire family abandoned him when he started throwing things. So, but we're here for you.
I needed my support system around me, and you guys are all I have.
That's all, and that's really sad. That's
really not good for me.
That story, yeah, that's you had to reach out across the nation. So catch us up. Let me set the stage for you guys to just completely. Let me just actually say what happened out loud. So, as part being following the program we follow, I think it's unfortunate how often we talk about whether or not we've seen rock bottom. Okay, but if I were to lay out a scenario for you where Purdue football has a lead, okay, no matter how ugly it was, you're up 13-3 in the second half, and you lose to that IU team, and not only that. It's a drive led by Xander Diamant, who then dances into the end zone to take the bucket away from you. Could there be, in all seriousness, could there be a lower scenario than that happening?
No.
No.
Next okay, one. Thank you for joining us.
Well, I mean, I think I just, you know, I just put a post-game post up that says Purdue ends the season in fitting manner. I mean, this is the story. They're doing exactly what you'd think they'd do. I guess we all thought that they would allow Coleman to run wild over him, right?
Most and they seem to actually game plan correctly for him. Am I wrong in that? I mean, they seem to...
They did, but remember, he was injured.
That's right.
He was hurt.
It's a lot like the Nebraska game. It's like fool's gold, right? Because...
right, Abdullah.
Abdullah was injured that game with ankle, same thing. Coleman was not himself today.
Somebody's microwave popcorn's done, I think. What was that?
Yeah, we're done. We're making snacks over here.
Oh, shocker!
No, we're not. We're really not.
So Dave says he's going to join us too. So I just sent him an invite. We're going to make this a really lovely, manly group hug. I felt a little encouraged in the first half when they had a 4th-and-2 and they didn't have Coleman on the field. I thought, well, I like that. I thought that was just Kevin Wilson just trying to play mind games. You know, being the genius that he is.
Yeah. No, I mean, we talked about that because we said why wouldn't Coleman, there's Dave, why wouldn't Coleman be in on the
Dave.
Why wouldn't Coleman be in on the play as well? But the reason he wasn't is because he was getting treatment on the sideline because his ankle was bad. So, you know, it's if you take away IU's only weapon on offense, this is what you get. Purdue still loses.
They turned to Xander Diamant. So Dave, take us home here. What do we have to look forward to as Purdue football fans? Anything at all?
Well. I mean, it kind of depends on a lottery, basically. The Purdue's history is they buy lottery tickets, and if it pays off, and I'm talking about the small, you know, $1 tickets, not the $100 tickets. You know, occasionally we get a Tiller or a Mollenkopf, we get a nice little run, and everyone feels better. It's like, woo, second tier bowl, yeah! And then they leave, and then we get this. Like, we hire a guy who got 1 year of playoff football in 1AA. And then we got, after that, we replaced him with a guy who had 1 good year at a second tier 1A school. And like, this is an accomplishment. We have a guy who nearly almost won a MAC title. And now we're excited because we won.
When you put it that way, it sounds bad.
And let me make that sound worse. How about the fact that you're also paying that guy $2 million? So it's not exactly like you can say, well, we could cut bait with him.
Right.
They can't do that because the buyout is right now, as I think, I don't think I ever did the post I wanted to do, but I think they owe him like $9 million right now.
Yep. It's the rest of their contract. I think Painter is somewhere around 12 and Hazel's around 8, if I remember correctly.
Kirk is one smart businessman. That's one thing I'll say.
That's Burke's buyout. Do we have that information? I don't want to get you guys blocked again.
Unblocked and reblocked doesn't hurt at all. So, well, that was sobering right there. That's just the world that we're in right now. And I think the thing that they have to do is they have to fire everybody else, right?
Meaning what? Everybody but Hazel?
They have to fire the coordinators.
Yeah. Do you think he will?
No.
I think so.
Why? Why would he fire him? He's staunchly loyal, and Burke's not going to make him fire him.
Well, because I don't think both will go, and I think the one that has more justification to stay actually is Shoup, because he has a little more cushion with his resume. Listen, like, this is when you compare him to Hudson, this is all we got. I think you get a new defensive coordinator, unfortunately, and if we're choosing between those two, I think that's the choice that Burke will make.
I think Hudson stays. I mean, the defense is kind of young. You can point to injuries as being a cause of a lot of problems this year, and there's some.
But they can do the same thing with offense, right? So you could just say, "Oh, it's all injuries, guys. Next year will be better because Anthrop will be back." And we all knew that every hope for this offense hung around the neck of Danny Anthrop. So let's review that real quick. Let's look at that. Anthrop, who I like, who is a talented guy, right, is a 2A football player who was a throw-in to a recruiting class. He gets injured, and the whole offense goes to hell.
What I'm saying is that they're going to look for an excuse to keep these coordinators around. And there are... I'm not buying it as a legitimate reason, but I'm saying that that's what will be pointed to when both of those guys retain their jobs this year.
So you're just letting you're saying, let's set our bar really low and just say everything's going to be the same next year.
I'm not setting any bar.
That sounds low.
This is what the program is going to do. I am predicting what's going to happen, and what's going to happen is nothing.
You know what's going to happen next fall when they open the gates at Ross Aid? Nothing.
No one is going to.
No
nothing.
One will comment. No,
guys, I don't know if you listened to. I'm sure you did. I'm sure the first thing you did after we posted the most recent Handsome Hour was listen to it end to end like 2 or 3 times. But did you hear us talking about? You realize the schedule next year, right? They start at Marshall, and they have Virginia Tech at home.
Yeah,
that's right. Hey, good. Marshall just lost, so all we need to do is score 67 points, and we're good.
And Virginia Tech was not very good this year, except against Ohio State. So there you go.
They beat Ohio State at Ohio State. Let's not forget that.
How long would it take Purdue's offense to score 67 points?
Like the entire Big Ten season?
A few weeks ago, I wrote something saying that it was undeniable that they'd made progress this year. And I think we actually, at the time, all would agree that there was progress, right? But it almost... I don't think you can call it that anymore, can you?
Nope.
Even though they've won more and they move the ball better and all that stuff, like, because of the regression is so extreme. Last year, they didn't regress this badly, right? They were terrible.
They were bad the whole time.
Right. Yeah. This time, they went up a little curve and then just fell off a cliff and...
It's what's progress that nobody wants to hear about. Nobody cares if you have a couple more wins, but you're still playing terrible football, you're making silly mistakes, you're losing to a team with a one-dimensional offense with a red circle around the guy who's going to carry the ball, and you get beat by other guys.
Yeah. This season was that Simpsons episode, you know, where Homer tries to jump the canyon on the skateboard, and he's going up, and you're like, he's going to make it, and then he just falls and just hits every rock on the way down. That's what this season.
You actually thought Homer was going to make it?
Well, no.
The way you delivered that, it sounded like you were like, I thought Homer was going to make it over. He never, nothing bad ever happened.
It's an analogy. Come on.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, somebody's...
No, I don't know. I do think, as depressing as it is, I think there has been progress this year, and that's the
I have the one dissenting voter. Well, maybe not the one. I don't know.
Well, no, like whether it's a ton of progress or not, last year was such a dumpster fire that we never thought we'd get out of. Now, this is less of a dumpster fire that we're still the last of the Big Ten, so I don't really know.
14th place.
A brand new 14th place. The first 14th place.
I think Anish said something earlier today. We weren't on the air. And we're not positive. We'll have to have our interns check this. But we believe that Purdue is the first team ever. Dave, you can probably answer this. The first team ever to finish 11th in the Big Ten, 12th in the Big Ten, and 14th in the Big Ten.
Well, since you had 14,
boiler up!
Obviously.
Boiler up!
we're proud of that. That's no other school in the country can say that.
Hang your hat on that.
That's not nothing, guys. That's not nothing.
That's something. Exactly. Oh boy. Yeah, that's the thing. We are out of line. I'm just gonna say all you guys were wrong. I'm just gonna say it nicely, okay? Because you many times this year we all said that Purdue didn't have an identity, right? Well, we have an identity. I think we found it. Yeah. Last place. That's the identity.
Well,
and my son has to live with that too. And your son has to live with it, Jay.
I know.
And your son, Michael. And your son, eventually, Anish. Dave, whenever you guys have kids, it'll happen.
Why would I bring children into the world to follow football like this?
Good question.
No.
So is this worse than from 93 to 96 when Purdue finished?
Yes.
Yes.
Undoubtedly, yes.
You're on campus.
What's that?
Jay and I were on campus for that.
Yes. And
we know firsthand.
So, no, I think it's better. I think it was better then. I really do than the last, what, 2-3 years? I mean, I don't know where you put this in history.
It's the worst. I think this is, in my opinion, this is the worst period in Purdue football history.
Our friend Ryan, he had a good point, and he says it doesn't matter who you bring in as head coach. It's like any other company. If the boss doesn't back them up and back up their decisions, they're not going to succeed. So you have a case of the executive really doesn't help anything, right? If he's not going to back up decisions that are made and get full-throated behind, you know, whatever's happening, it's not going to matter. Now, if Purdue had hired Kevin Sumlin when Hope was hired, right, we might be in a different situation right now because the gradual cultural decline that started under Tiller would have at least been stopped, I think.
You think? See,
instead of that cultural decline continuing and then falling off a cliff, right? And now we're down in a deep, deep canyon. Boy, it's hard to get out now.
So. You don't think Sumlin could have gone through the same kind of thing that perhaps Hazel's going to go through, where it almost doesn't matter what skill he has, that because of the lack of resources and the lack of commitment that, you know, maybe he would have muddled together a few 6 weeks.
Well, you got a couple differences, right?
Going somewhere else.
Hazel inherited a program that has hardly any ticket sales. That's a big difference, right? Because Hope inherited a Ross Aid that was had what, 40,000 in it,
yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, now you're getting 15,000 to 20,000 in Ross Aid, right? And on top of that, it's going to get worse now.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, let's remember, this is another thing we brought up earlier today, is we all said, you know, that raising the ticket price in the offseason by Burke looks really smart right about now, right?
I still don't understand just what he was thinking when he...
I think he was trying to stick it to people because he thought you guys wanted to pay a coach, so now you got to pay for a coach. That's what I think. I may be wrong.
That sounds as logical as anything else.
I think that's probably the case. I think it's similar to what George King did in the 80s when, and I mentioned that I think when we were just chatting an email, that Purdue tickets for students were free. And then in the middle of just the bad football era that preceded the bad football era that preceded Tiller, he decided, you know what the problem is here? We don't make enough money off the student. So they
these rich students walking into the stadium for free, flaunting their money and not giving it to us.
And that's what the problem was. And this is the same kind of thing. You know what? We're not making enough money off ticket sales. So let's raise ticket prices instead of let's improve the on-field product.
Well, if there's half as many people in the stadium, you got to double the ticket prices in order to keep yourself in the black, don't you? I mean, it's simple math, Dave.
So the other thing is this pervasive thought on Twitter after losses like this or wherever on blogs or whatever that Purdue is a bad fan base and Purdue is an apathetic fan base. And the problem is that Purdue isn't the Florida fan base, right? If Florida football falls off a cliff, they riot. Like, their fans just go crazy. When Purdue fans fall off a cliff, move on. That's it. Like, just ignore it. It's really easy to just move on and, like, immerse yourself into other things. And that's how Purdue has lost a ton of its fan, like, the heart of a ton of its fan base. I believe it's still there. I think the fans are still good. They're just waiting. It's like, why would, like you guys said on the last podcast, like, why would I waste my time?
That's what I thought he made a great point, which is, you know, doesn't happen that often, but he made a great point that the Purdue fans are very logical, smart people, generally. I don't think that's a patting ourselves on the back. I think it's totally true, and you have to want it to be a Purdue fan. So when they make it difficult and they continue to kick you in the teeth, you apply logic and you say, why would I? But the difference is, as I think I said when he made that point, Purdue fans are still paying attention. They're just not going to spend their money for this crap. Right. But look at the activity on Twitter during any Purdue game. Look at when someone like Herbstreit mocks Purdue, or there is like vitriol that goes after. I mean, seriously, and there are programs that don't give a shit when people make fun of them. They just don't. So Purdue fans do care. I will never accept the Purdue's fan base that doesn't care. Now, there are fans at the games, and Ryan can attest to this, that are terrible fans.
So Rob Henry just sent out a tweet, I think, maybe about 45 minutes ago. In Coach Hope's worst season, Purdue won 4 games. The past 2 seasons, Purdue's won a total of 4 games. I think Albert Evans tweeted something similar.
Well, yeah.
I think Rob Henry probably should just shut up about this stuff on Twitter, though.
Yeah, but Rob Henry.
This is how you lose a lot of the fan base is this isn't a defense of Hope. I think firing Hope and hiring Hazel is the right move. But when you fire a coach right after they got to a bowl game, like immediately after they beat IU to get qualified for a bowl game, that you set your standards higher, and then when they don't see, and when they see the athletic director that fired this coach getting a pay bump and a title bump, like as former athletes, I don't blame them at all for getting upset.
Well, I first of all, what happened that season, okay, and this is to your point, maybe this obviously doesn't matter at all, but what happened the year that Hope was fired, I don't know how much you guys remember reading into these details. But after they went up to Minnesota and got embarrassed at Minnesota, he sat down with the coaching staff and basically told them, this is it, you're done. But we need to figure out a way to make this season not a complete embarrassment. That didn't get as much play as it probably should have, because he essentially fired them at like 3-6 or 3-5. And then came home and they got whipped by Penn State, and then they reeled off the 3 wins. It probably would have been better, and I think as we watched them play Oklahoma State, we would all agree it would have been a lot better if they just lost one of those games.
Yeah.
Because then you're replacing a guy who didn't make a bowl. You don't have that embarrassing Oklahoma State game, which, you know, had a lot to do with the fact that they didn't have Hope anymore, probably.
He was there in the stands.
He was.
That's what we were talking about, that. I don't know. That's the Remember the Titans quote, right? Attitude reflects leadership? I don't know. Like, if you handle this wrong, who's that, you know, who is the person that... like, who handled it incorrectly? The guy that got the pay bump this summer. And when you're a former athlete and you see stuff like that, like, why would you support your alma mater? Like, why would you send out? Why would you hold your tongue? You know, when you see results like this.
So you think those comments are at Burke? Because I don't think so. I think those comments
I think it's at the athletic department. They don't know Hazel.
Henry's comments are right at Hazel, I think.
I think so.
I don't think I'd even know Hazel.
Well, remember when Ryan Smith graduated and he wrote a guest column for us? He spent a good portion of it telling all of us how amazingly great Burke is. You remember that, Ryan?
Who said that? Sorry.
Remember Ryan Smith's column for us?
Yeah.
He told us all what a great athletic director Morgan Burke is and how much he cares about the athletic program. So I'm just saying, if that's a representative example of what the athletes think, then maybe it's more at the coach. And more, if anything, it's probably supporting Hope, you know, over everything. You know, not necessarily.
It's funny that Ryan said that because he was a part of one of the most successful runs in Purdue basketball history.
Yeah.
It's kind of different when you're...
You're right.
This crappy, you know, situation in the last 6 years.
One of the most successful runs in Purdue sports history all the way to the Sweet 16.
That's what it is. That's what it, I mean, like, we got Big Ten titles. We got national respect. We got several... We got several national stories run about how good Mackey Arena is.
Mm. How many of those would have happened if Robbie Hummel hadn't blown his knee out?
Mackey Arena the year after Hummel left. I mean, like, this is, of course, like, and I love Ryan, but of course Burke was great to them because they were winning at the time.
They were a cash cow.
Yeah, they were a cash cow. They were the reputation of the school at the time.
And he didn't have to do anything to get that. I mean, this was before he paid Painter. This was this did not require an investment in Mackey or in the facilities or any of that sort of stuff.
This was his lottery ticket.
This was free gravy for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think about that. You guys just hit something that's just all it is building the house for Burke.
Yeah.
Is that you pay a coach, you put the money into Mackey. You put the money into Matt Painter, and you lose, and you lose, and you lose, and you lose. So what does he want to do? Let's go back to the good old days of paying everybody a nickel and winning like it's our jobs, right?
Or maybe the thought is, whether I pay them or not, we have a fixed ceiling.
Yeah.
So why should I pay them any more than I have to?
But the thing, it's really not that. You know, it's really the trickle down of a couple of years of going really cheap and bad circumstances. Painter said that before the wheels fell off of the basketball program, he was warning everybody that things were not good, right? Because they lost Rick Ray, and he said, he was vocal that was because he didn't have the budget he needed to have.
Yeah.
Right?
He took another assistant coaching position. That's completely unacceptable.
Yeah. Right, right.
Right.
Well, now he's at Mississippi State.
Correct? Yeah, now he's head coach at Mississippi State.
So,
well, that's the thing that the one exception about if we had hired Sumlin instead of Hope, the problem would be, okay, supposing we have a better head coach, but Burke still draws the line and says, nah, you can't pay any decent money for assistants.
Sure.
Sumlin can't do the whole thing himself. So we could be in the same position looking at Sumlin and saying, I don't understand. This guy had such a great background. Why didn't he win at Purdue?
Do you think that this season makes recruiting any tougher than it already was? I mean, I feel like it was an opportunity to really make recruiting easier. But I mean, does it make it worse? I guess what I'm getting at is, does Hazel have, is he almost cooked now the way that Hope almost was? After Hope was done earlier than he was really done, right?
Well, according to two different magazines, they're ranked between 11th and 14th in this recruiting class that's coming in. Okay. Well,
Indiana. I said in the nation or in Indiana?
In the conference.
Okay? Oh, in the conference.
In the conference, okay. And so that's with the verbals they have right now and nobody, you know, jumping ship. The big concern I have is that Markell Jones will leave.
Oh.
And he'll go someplace else. The next
offer. Just hold up the tent if that happens. Just take down Mackey or take down the Ross Aid, whatever they plan.
I don't even know.
Lambert Fieldhouse, whatever, blow it all up.
If you do that, right, you've got four straight years where you're in the bottom two of recruiting according to Rivals, I believe.
It's weird how that correlates to then finishing the bottom two of the conference.
It is odd.
Good players in order to win.
When was the last time that finished last 2 years in a row?
I think it's unprecedented, but I could be wrong.
I'll check. No, I'm not going to check on that. I don't want to know if it happened.
Are you asking if Purdue football finished last in the conference 2 years in a row ever before? No, they have not.
Never. This is the first time. Hey, breaking new ground at least.
There was a period from 1919 to 1923 where they finished no higher than 8th.
I'm crying. So
this is the worst 2 years in Purdue football history.
So it really is. So it's not hyperbole when we're saying it's the worst, that the darkest period in the program. Because you know what I mean? It's hard to think about like the current day with with success not being that far behind us, right? I mean, you know, I know they've been good in 5, 6, 7 years, but that's not that long ago.
Only one of us in this group remembers the 1920s. Is that correct, Dave? Well, I can make an old joke because I've been getting made fun of all day by Anish, and it hurts. Okay? It hurts.
Anish will get older.
I was napping. Did you say something?
I will say that from 1981 till 1997, Purdue played in one bowl game. And that, as a larger scale than 2 years, might be the darkest period in Purdue football history.
Wait, I'm sorry, I didn't hear it. Seriously, you said when? What stretch? The 84 to 97?
81 to 96.
Yeah, right. They played in 84. Yeah, right. That was when we were there. And we felt like... They were like unicorns, you know. There's no such thing as a, you know, Mike Allston. Think about, you know, I actually unfortunately care like about players, and I like to see them have some measure of success. And I remember thinking Mike Allston spent 4 years just, you know, being
toiling.
The only option, and still running up thousands of yards, and never even got close to a bowl, right? I mean, it's not like they were ever even playing IU to go to a bowl, that sucks. Gosh,
yeah, they're playing highest... IU to keep IU from going to a bowl. That's
right.
Yeah.
Their highest finish in the Big Ten during that stretch was sixth. So that's really bad.
Kill for sixth right now.
I was going to say, who wouldn't take sixth at the moment? Spot.
Sixth out of 14.
They can't even finish sixth in their division.
Right.
Well, there's only six in the division, so. Oh, wait, no, I guess there's
seven.
I guess there's seven.
Dang it, Mike. Who invited Mike?
It's so, Mike, you were one of the ones who said you needed events, so maybe we haven't given you the floor enough. I don't know. I mean.
I'm looking for a reason to be positive about the future of this program.
Yeah, I think your text was something like, I'm tired of. What did you say? I'm tired of rooting for Purdue football. Isn't that something like that?
No, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, you don't want that? You don't want that documented? You want me to find it?
Please find it and then put it out. No, I said.
Let's see here. The thought of dealing with. Hold on.
I'm honestly sick of cheering for a horrible program. That's what I said.
Oh,
I'll stand
by
that.
Instead of what did I say? I'm tired of cheering for Purdue football, and you said I'm tired of cheering for a horrible program.
I mean, if you're gonna like say that, at least get the quote right. All right. I'm sick.
Man, I hate everything about Purdue football right now. Was what you said before that. So,
and you are putting me on blast.
So I guess actually,
I am leaving you out of the group text.
Yeah.
So I guess,
and he's taking you out of his will.
No, this is awesome because he said the thought of dealing, and I can edit this, Mike. This is, you know, the thought of dealing with 9 months of positive stories coming out of training camp and off-season workouts make me nauseous. You're acting like this is bad for us to talk about. This is great. You're being reduced to that, and you're one of the more loyal people they have.
I'll say something. I'll stand by that. Here's the thing. Like, if anyone wants to challenge my Purdue fandom. I mean, I love Purdue. I really do, and I love Purdue football. But I know that all we're gonna get over the next once practice starts, once training camp starts, when summer starts, is all these reports coming out about how good this team is and how things are gonna be different this year. And really, I'm just at the point where I need to see it.
I got something to say. If you have a problem with that type of post, stop reading my stuff.
Well, yeah, in all seriousness, I hope you wouldn't.
What a jerk
I am. That wouldn't suggest that. That in no way suggests you're not a good Purdue fan. That you're sick of the being horrible. I see. You've maybe you haven't heard us, but one of the things we've argued with people about is when people like that dope on Twitter always tells us that, you know, now he tells us that we're not loyal fans, and the argument I've tried to make to people who are that like kind of, you know, simple minded is that. If you care about something, criticizing it is part of your obligation. I mean, if you have children, that's part of the job. If you care about changing your country, that's part of the job. Criticizing things that are being run poorly is how you show support. I mean, I don't think that's complicated. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think it feels bad to be that critical because it's justified at this point. And you never want to waste your Saturdays cheering for a team that's just going to lose all the time.
If you can get
this got dark.
that dark.
Man. So what do you do? What is it? Like, what's the way, like, out? Well, the way out of... So
stop watching.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. So there is kind of a plan for basketball, right? We had four straight good recruiting classes, and that's how we dig ourselves out of the hole. And so far, it looks like it's working, but let's see. There's at least something that we can build on, right? For Purdue football, I don't, like, what do you guys think?
Start paying players. I seriously kid, because we're in such, as fans, I say we there because I mean it, we're in such a dark spot that it's kind of tough to see any light at the end of the tunnel with any handling of things as business as usual, right? I mean,
right.
I, other than having a revolutionary offense, you know, or saying, you know, like, we're like that high school coach that never punts, something gimmicky, where you're just trying to do something completely different that no one else can do and doing it great, you know, what do you do?
Purdue would lose 75-6 if they never punted.
Right, it'd be even worse. instead of games being close into the third, they'd be...
Okay, I got a question.
That's what Tiller did, right? Mm-hmm.
He changed the game.
Yeah. Everyone was 3 yards in a cloud of dust, and he said, let's spread them out and have four and five receivers and throw the ball all over the place. And they didn't know how to play. Doesn't get enough
credit for changing the way the game was played in the Big Ten.
But the sad thing is we've got a guy who is not a revolutionary thinker at all. You know. And so what you need, here's what you need, guys. Dave, you talked about the lottery. What you need is Purdue to win the lottery as one of these quarterbacks.
With an offense.
This guy be such a badass that it's undeniable that he's going to win.
Or get an offensive coordinator in there who's Cliff Kingsbury or somebody who that Hazel would let do crazy stuff. But that's not going to happen. I mean, here's a question I would ask is the Austin Appleby experiment over?
Oh, because who's going to replace him?
Blow.
I mean, it's only over if you know that someone definitively is better.
Blow.
Is he really better?
I don't know, but he damn well better get a shot at the starting job in the spring practice, don't you think?
That's what we said a month and a half ago with Appleby. You know what I mean? 2 months ago.
That he should get a shot, and he did. And he's not gone forward. He's gotten worse. He's gotten worse like the rest of the team. His decision making is worse. We like him, but. I mean, I liked Etling, too.
Yeah.
You guys probably didn't see this. Somebody replied to one of our tweets, because there were a million going around, and it was a female who said that if they had kept Etling in there, they would have won two or three more games.
Yeah, I heard that.
I think that's just standard reactionary type.
That's amazing, though. And it's nothing against Danny Etling, because he's a good kid, but like...
But what's can you really disprove that was Austin so good?
Oh, here comes the scientist. Can you really disprove it?
But here's the thing. It's just like
say they would have won more games with Allen.
You can't say that.
It's the same guy. That's what I would say. I think that's the same. Yeah. You got a shot in the arm. You steal the Illinois game because Etling wasn't going to win it the way he was playing at that point.
Yeah.
So you get the Illinois game. That's it. That's the game, right? Is beating a bad Big Ten team. From there out, it seems to me that Etling and Appleby, statistically very similar, right? And so Jay, you posted this earlier.
I'll make that argument with this crowd.
Right. you can make a follow-up post now that says, you know, the true statistical comparison between these two after two seasons, and you have a full, you know, all your information in front of you. I think you're going to find they're almost the same. It's going to be like 51-52% completion. You know,
there was a lot of picks today. What did you throw, three or four today?
It's really going to kind of level the playing field. They're going to look even more similar because of all those picks. Because that's the way Etling kind of started off, and he got a little better towards the end, and Appleby did the opposite. So that's my whole point, Michael, about the about firing the offensive coordinator. I know you want Shoup to stay. You say keep everybody because you love all of them.
Love them. I have pictures of all of them in my room. All on my ceiling. It's great.
But isn't that, if you look at the plan, right, when we were talking about what plan makes it happen, you have to shake it.
Who just said plan? Was that my...
That was me. What plan?
What plan?
There's no plan.
Plan you speak of.
So let me just make a point here about the head coach. We Purdue fans like to, you know, wring our hands and talk about how Darrell Hazel is making $2 million a year. He's the 10th highest paid coach in the Big Ten and the 45th highest paid coach in Division I football.
Yeah.
And Purdue is not in Purdue's 10th place in the conference, and they're below 45th in the nation. So he's still not even earning that.
Well, I'm saying that even people who point to Morgan Burke as improving by paying Hazel, he's not paying market rate for a top Big Ten.
He didn't get a top Big Ten head coach, though. I mean, as much as we all liked him, as Dave pointed out, he was one good year. And we all said this, right? He was one good year. And I think we all crossed our fingers, like, all right, I know he only had one good year, but I think we all banked, more than the good year, I think we all banked on all those years under Tressel as being, you know. Yeah.
Worth something.
Worth something. Yeah. How you say worth something. What was that, Dave?
The thing is that it's kind of like the same thing with Shoup. If you have the talent, then you can do what Tressel was doing. And so Hazel could run that boring, you know, run the ball down your throat kind of game. But if you don't have that talent, you can't play a game close to the vest and wait for the other team to crumble, because you're going to be the one to make those mistakes.
You like how you worked in the vest there, guys? That was really impressive, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Like a Tressel.
Yes. That was brilliant, Dave.
That's why I get paid you.
Well, guys, I don't know if we figured it out, but I think we figured it out.
Well,
someone needs to send this tape to Mitch Daniels, and then it'll all be over.
Does anyone else want to physically assault Pete Quinn? I don't know if you guys heard the quote from Lowdown. Man, he was angry.
That was me.
I didn't hear it. What was the quote?
You ought to listen to the Handsome Hours. This neat podcast.
Just listen to, in all seriousness, because I can't do it justice, because I was mad. I was really mad that night. But just go listen to the first 30 seconds of part one of the Handsome Hour from last week. And I said to Jay, I texted him. I was like, man, I sound angry.
He sounded passionate.
Like, I don't even know Pete Quinn. He's probably a fantastic gentleman. I was so mad at him, at his sentiment, that I said that. And I really would like to take this time, because I know Pete's a big fan of the show.
Sure.
To apologize to that. That was not right. But I can tell you, Pete Quinn also shouldn't have a job working for Purdue Sports Radio. wait. Could I just backpedal?
That was the worst apology I've ever heard in my entire
That's
life.
That's like Jay and I always say.
He's not that bad, but he should lose his job.
Worst apology ever?
How is it even in the same like solar system as an apology?
I'll agree. That's a horrible apology.
He's lecturing people on not showing up to the game. I mean, it's still astonishing.
I didn't show up. He's right. I'm the problem.
No, I'm the problem. I didn't go either.
Well, that's the off mic quote that we've got from our buddy over here is that if the athletic director and the associate athletic director don't care,
and your president,
and your president doesn't care about, and your board of trustees don't care about winning, why should ticket holders, potential ticket holders, alums, and fans?
And it's not even just like you're interpreting that they don't care. They've said it, right?
Correct.
They've said, I'm not getting into an arms race. Now, is that true when they're spending what they're – like, you know, we talked about what it would cost to buy out these coaches. That's not nothing. I mean, they are committing more money than ever before.
We're not playing on the same – you're not on the same playing field, though, as the top half of the conference. You really aren't. And bigger than that, from a facility standpoint, you're not on the same playing field. So what I said to Jay a week ago is I said, if we could have – Purdue become a truly great academic athletic department. So we can hang our hat on that, right? Wouldn't that be something? Or you'd say, we're going to get back to saying, these are student athletes. These kids, you know, we're going to set high standards. They may not be able to compete because we're getting kids that are harder. You know, this is Northwestern, Stanford, right? Duke, yeah. Guess what? Both Northwestern and Stanford and Duke have all gone to bowl games in the last 2 years.
And won 10 games.
Yeah. So you can't even say that. But maybe that's an idea right there, is that if you don't accept mediocrity, you'll do bigger things, right?
So
if the goal is not to win games.
They're mediocre, and they've gotten to the worst rung in the conference.
But if the goal is to not – if your goal isn't to win games, then why do you have an athletic department?
Well, you can –
the students who are going to class and doing great things. Like, we have a football team to win football games.
But their goal isn't. They, it's not that their goal is not. Their goal is to win football games. Just with what they've got. And here's what I'll say. And this is not defending, believe me, Burke or any of the athletic department. But I wrote a post about this like a year ago, I think, or maybe it was 2 years ago now. About not. I don't want to hear that it can't be done because there are program examples out there that don't have tons of cash coming in. They don't have gigantic fan bases. They don't have rich donors.
And there are places, all these schools we just named, by the way.
Northwestern.
They all compete in big markets with bigger schools.
Right.
Think about it.
Right. That's my problem with this whole blaming the
athletic. Fans that are naysayers always say, Anish, always say that you're in a position where you're competing against bigger, more blue-blooded programs, right? And that is true. But you got to say, let's do something different, right? Duke is competing against North Carolina. Northwestern is competing against Illinois and Notre Dame. Stanford's competing against a host of schools right there, right? So they all win. They all find a way.
TCU, so, I mean.
You, yeah, I, that's the thing. Gary Patterson was another guy that I was in love with a decade ago. And my college roommate, he's a Purdue grad and a TCU grad. And he said, well, Gary Patterson's retiring as a Horned Frog. The radio
Dad knew all the great coaches. He wanted Nick Saban a long time ago. He wanted Don Shula. He wanted Bear Bryant. He knew all of them. He knew all of them. You wouldn't listen, Purdue.
I hear Jim Harbaugh's looking for a new gig.
I'll take him.
Holy moly. I would take him in a second. Ryan and I play this game all the time.
Rick from Georgia, because I bet he's going to be on the hunt.
I was going to say, you and I play this game all the time, right, where – We talk about the guys whose fan base is. How about Les Miles, whose fan base?
Les Miles, yeah, he'd be okay.
Them all the time. Yep. How about Harbaugh? How about who are some of the other? How about Rich Rodriguez?
Yep.
Hey, Michigan should take a look at him.
I love that. I love the whole circle of life. Like they're 10-2, and they're in the Pac-12 championship game. It's freaking awesome. And I didn't like that guy.
I hear Kelly might get fired at Notre Dame. We'll take a look at him too. I don't like him, but I'd love him at Purdue. I'd be in mad love with him at Purdue. Like, boyfriend.
How about Will Muschamp? Let's see. Let's push it. Will Muschamp.
No way.
Muschamp. I'll take Muschamp.
Nope. Dave says no way?
No way. Couldn't succeed at Florida.
You don't like defense?
Look at his offense. We already have an offense like that.
Exactly. It'll come right in.
I'll take half. That's
Hudson.
All we need.
Hudson. We can fire Hudson and pick up Muschamp.
Oh, there. I like it.
DC. Okay. I'm on board with that.
You like that. Dave likes that.
Yeah. Coordinator, fine. Head coach, no.
The guy who was fired at Boston College years ago because he lied to the NFL about something?
He didn't lie.
I'll take him.
You mean the guy who went and interviewed when he was told not to interview?
Yeah, I'll take him.
Being with a Z.
Oh, there you go.
Leary.
I'll take him.
O'Leary.
O'Leary was the guy who got fired from Notre Dame because he lied about his resume.
Yeah,
right. That's what I'm saying. I'll take him.
How about I had another one. I had another good one. Oh, how about when Charlie Strong gets fired from Texas? From Texas?
I'm a little aroused here. Yes. That's the name right there.
Yeah, what's that? Strong?
How about the guy that's at Western Kentucky right now? He left.
Did you see those clowns get into a fight at midfield today?
What, Kentucky and Louisville?
Western Kentucky. No, it was Kentucky and Louisville, yeah. Yeah. Did you see the coaches? Petrino was in it?
Yeah, Petrino was in it.
I don't want Petrino. There's my line.
He wins. Does nothing but win.
I don't want him. I don't want Petrino.
Yeah, who wants winning?
I don't want Petrino. I don't want anybody in the Penn State family. I don't want anybody in the Ohio State family. How about that?
You have someone from the Ohio State family.
Shot across the bow to our head coach now. I don't want anyone in the Ohio State.
I'm an Ohio State guy.
Our sons are downstairs playing video games after the game. They're both wearing Purdue jerseys. They're done. Okay, they're watching. They're playing video games. They don't care about what happened. They're kind of apathetic. Okay. Right.
Good. And let's hope they stay that way.
Booker tweets.
So I tweet, the next generation of Purdue football fans have abandoned the Boilers after halftime. # thanks, Morgan. And one of our favorites is Mr. BJ.
BJ Knopf.
Favorites.
Favorites. The tweet.
That does not.
Oh, no.
That's not a good
one.
Is that him?
That's a current player. Yeah, I don't know what to do with that. You're not talking about a former talking about.
But he didn't make the trip to Bloomington. He doesn't know what happened down there yet.
Yeah, the word hasn't. The bus isn't.
Somewhere else.
In his office.
He's with Morgan somewhere else, not watching the game.
Is that him? Is that him? Looking for fuel
this
to motivate him.
Social networking. You've just opened some weird can of worms. That I don't. Gosh, we got
Bob quickly trying to unfavorite. Like that's a
You're gonna have to just delete the tweet altogether. It's the only option you have.
Man. Woo! Things are good. In other words, things are good. Things are great. So can't wait to basketball season.
Six games.
What we always say West Lafayette. So predictions on how Purdue will do in the spring game. Will they win or lose? And
lose.
Oh wow! You know what? You know what? I don't normally give Travis too much credit, but he has one up right now that says, "Oh, Bruker retweeted it." It says, "To be fair, Hazel has earned $1 million per win so far."
Yeah.
Whew, that's tough. This, the hard thing for me is I am eating crow so badly about something that I was all positive about. I was so happy about this hire, and I know that.
So are we all.
Gosh.
Problem is you can't just spend money on a coach and facilities. It's everything.
Right.
It's coaches flying out to see the best players.
Yep.
It's assistant coaches that know what they're doing. It's hiring everything around. You cannot spend all your money on one coach, one facility, and think that people will show up.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Yeah. That's what Morgan did. Morgan hired a coach for a lot of money who wasn't necessarily proven, and then he spent some money on making a beer garden and thought that somehow this would bring the program back from the depths.
Hey, have you been to that beer garden? It's nice concrete, young man.
You bite your tongue.
It's a great place to go watch other games.
Yeah.
Is that part of the problem?
Well, it's a joke that writes itself because there's only like two programs in the Big Ten, I think, that have alcohol sales at the games.
And the irony about that, my dad, that's one thing he said. He said, you know, on one end you have Purdue that never changes, right? Never changes. The Board of Trustees hold the strings. They always have. They always will. They don't want to, you know, they don't want to push things too far. Don't want to spend too much. Don't want to, you know, keep up with the Joneses. But you would think that a conservative place like Purdue would have never sold booze, right? But they're doing it now.
We removed seats from the football stadium.
That
tells you everything.
Right?
Because what that's saying is, we don't think
we're going to fill them. You just hit on something.
We don't think move another 30,000.
If you actually thought there was something coming, you would not take seats
now,
away.
But listen to what you just did. Listen, you just got a huge check mark from
that's
me.
Ryan Hooper joining us on the Handsome Hour, by the way.
Yes.
I should have said that.
Yes. What he just did, okay? If Purdue was run like a business, right? Which one thing they always say, Burke's big pro is that yeah, he keeps
he
things
like
in the black. He runs it like a business, right? So you answer to the board, right, in a real business, okay? He answers to the Board of Trustees, okay? One of his goals when Tiller was leaving was to add the extra seats in Ross-State and make Ross-State a bigger, more, you know, a better
more big tennis.
Instead of that, he's taken seats away, and now he's hanging hats on the fact that you've got a tent with beer in it and less seats in the stadium? Talk about spin! And those Board of Trustees, they said, yep, you're right, great job, guys.
Which brings more money, a couple beers?
I guess.
Or an empty seat? I can even figure that one out. I mean,
you can figure that one out, huh?
You know, I think this is rare that you're not the angriest Ryan on the Handsome Hour today.
Well, good point. Let's do this. Bucher, our show producer, whispered while I leaned away.
Follow him at Ryan Bucher.
Let's end this on a positive note. We've got some of the finest Purdue fan minds right here in one place.
I think we have all of them.
Look ahead. The Big Ten ACC
This
Challenge.
Is what's left. This is what's left. This is it.
That should make the beginning of the show intro right there. That was very good. Okay, so we've got all the Purdue minds.
What about the fact that Haas is going to leave after this year?
Oh, stop it.
Positive.
Wow, don't get Anish started. Anish doesn't think NBA teams want 7-footers.
Okay. I love it. More than your balance.
I was just checking out. I'm washing my hands.
Why? Why? No. It's this.
So, okay. So, we're going to end it on a positive, okay? The basketball season starts soon. We're going to do this a little
intro. Soon. Basketball starts soon, does it?
No.
Basketball starts soon.
But
negative 2 weeks from now.
What I'm saying. I can't do two things at once in my mind, okay? It's me. All right. So the basketball season starts soon. Okay. No. The boys come back from Maui, right, after the, you know, after a solid trip. June 1, solid.
Yes, excellent.
Right? Solid trip. They beat a team that's in the top 30 in the RPI when the ball was tipped off in BYU. That's a big win. Crushing Missouri, big win. Okay, so now they get to play in the Big Ten ACC Challenge, got the big stage at the ESPN game, of course, mm-hmm. right? So what do you guys think, looking ahead to basketball season, let's get some predictions here that will make us feel happy. Right now, is this an NCAA tournament team, number one? How many wins, number two? So let's go around the world here. Anybody can throw in if they want.
All right. I'll just say, so is this what I think will happen, or is this what I think has to happen for it to be considered a good season? I guess you're saying what will happen, right?
What is going to happen? Well, you've got a crystal ball in front of you. I can see it. It's a foggy black crystal ball.
It's an orb, yes. I'm going to say they break over 20 wins. I'm going to say 20. Can I get a range? Can I say 20 to 22 wins?
Sure, two-game range is fair. Wow, that's nice.
Look at Jay.
Because here's why. Not that I be shocked when they go 16 and 14 or whatever the hell it would be? No, probably not. But I don't think I can fathom another, what would this be, three consecutive complete cluster mm-hmm. seasons if that happened? I don't think I can deal with that. I think that I'll just lose my mind, kind of like Michael did earlier today. So, and I think 5-1 is a pretty good start given going to Maui and the way they've handled those early season opportunities before, the way they've handled adversity before. They've actually shown a little bit better handling of it and a better attitude, and I know I've held the floor too long on what was supposed to be a quick question. So I'll say 20 wins and definitely an NCAA tournament.
Next.
Go ahead, Mike.
I think they finished the non-conference season 6-1, and then I'm going to say 9 or 10 wins in conference, and I bet they'll be a bubble team, and I bet they'll get a...
9 or 10 wins and they'll be a bubble team?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the Big Ten's going to be tough, but other conferences are pretty tough this year.
So I know this is your time to be talking, but if they go 11-2...
Go ahead.
No, I just want to... No, because I think you need a little help here. So if they go 11-2 in the non-conference, and then they win 9 or 10 Big Ten games, now, Anish, I want your eyes to get just as wide, because that would be 10 or... That'd be 20 or 21 wins.
Yes.
People, so 21 wins and a 10 and 8 Big Ten team is on the bubble?
People think that 20 wins is a magic, you're automatically in the NCAA tournament, and that's not the case.
Best conference in the country, you're over 500, you don't think it's automatic?
I don't think it's guaranteed. I think the Big 12 is very good this year. I think the ACC is very good this year. I think the Big East is even better this year.
This is a very minor thing to quibble over, I realize. But if they're 10-8 in the conference, they're nowhere near the bubble. I'll just say that now, and we can have a gentleman.
I said nine or 10 wins. So 9-9, 500. I mean, you're looking at 20 or 21 wins, and you know, we'll see. They don't play a single ranked team in the non-conference league. I'm playing devil's advocate here.
Man, you are really.
But they're gonna play. But that non-conference tournament or that non-conference schedule will look better, I think, as time goes on. Even if they're not ranked, you're gonna have three or four teams that are tournament teams, I think, at the end of the season. And three of those, two or three, will be wins. So I think that's.
So. What do you think, Dave?
I'm going to go with 21 wins. They're going to make it to Saturday in the Big Ten tournament, and they are not going to be anywhere near the bubble. They're in, definitely.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Gee, good Lord. Am I the pessimist on this? How did that happen?
Sounds that way.
Stuff gets attaboy, real,
Dave.
Real quick.
Attaboy, Dave.
I think we get 10 wins out of the non-conference, 8 wins in the conference, 1 win in the tournament, 1 win in the Big Ten tournament, and we are a solid bubble team. Of course, the microwave agrees with me because
what was that? Yes, we'll need it. Yeah, it's like we're on a game show.
I was
We need the noise like something wrong. Try again, please.
No,
show me Big Ten tournament.
No, I think we get we end after the Big Ten tournament with 19 wins, solid bubble team with like 60-40, 70-30 chance of getting it.
And so, are you happy with that?
19 after it was one win in the Big Ten tournament.
I say 19 wins, they're in the tournament, not a ball to their end.
So he's there's right. another one! Ding! He's it's right. like Pardon the Interruption or whatever show it is they use the ding. It's around the horn, right?
That's Bing! Right.
So, I was asking Anish, are you happy with the 19 wins and on the bubble?
Yeah, it's fine.
You get in the tournament, and I think everything's fine, right?
2 7-footers.
Yes, you know. Well, yeah, absolutely. After last year, I do think it's fine because we didn't get any generational talent, and it's unrealistic to expect a top four Big Ten, Big Ten team, top five Big Ten team. I think the Big Ten is tough. I don't think it's as top heavy as last year, but I do think top to bottom, it's just as good. And I think eight wins puts us at a solid bubble team. So. Yeah, I think we're all pretty optimistic about basketball season. It sounds good. It's probably just a coping mechanism that we're
absolutely, right. absolutely.
There's no doubt. Like I said, we can't deal with it.
Your whiskey and Pepto is the coping.
That's right.
I know.
He's clean right now.
I know. I can't Pepto whiskey around the children.
That's right.
So any of you guys making the drive out to New Jersey to see Purdue in February play at Rutgers?
Well, you're going to ruin your surprise. Oh, so stop talking about it.
Oh, sorry.
We're all going to go together.
Yay! Now we're not going to do it.
Exactly.
No Pacific Northwest lettuce hippie fans are allowed to come.
Hippie fans.
That's Ryan's. I stole that from Ryan. When Purdue played Oregon, I've never seen him so... hateful of an entire like region. He was like, we're watching the pregame and they're talking about fans coming to Autzen, and he's like, yeah, hippie lettuce fans are lucky they can find the friggin' stadium.
I love the lettuce part.
Like, right, I know, because it's kind of like doesn't make any sense, but it's still funny.
Like I can understand what he was going for, but it still doesn't make any sense.
Get what he meant. It's just it's the best that he can do.
I never said lettuce hippie.
You have a limited vocabulary and you don't swear enough.
We're like hippie.
You only have like 70 words, and I guess you have to reuse them.
All right, boys, this has been a pleasure. I got to tell you, I feel so much better just being around you. Makes me feel like I'm standing under a rainbow. Right. Moving stuff there, and
All right, well, this has been a treat.
All right, boys. Hey, you've been listening to the Handsome Hour.
And no one has anything else to say.
It was so angry. Hey, you've been listening to the Handsome Hour.
Yeah, and Jay just ruined it. We could have made it.
I did that on purpose. I wanted to ruin it because everything else has been ruined today.
Make it good.
Why?
Make
why
this do thing sound good because that's difficult to do.
Nothing associated with Purdue can finish well. That's the new rule.
That was a headshot right there.
That's it.
BS all the time.